This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, Tom Izzo, we will do that. You want a podcast? We give you a podcast. We do a podcast. Every day we do a podcast. At least most days we do a podcast. Today we do a podcast. Al, what's up?
Oh, hi, Jerry. I saw yesterday a photo that I cannot release yet because I've been told they're not to be released yet. But Tom Izzo, our production digital guy, put together a, you know, based on the photographs we took, the professional photos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He put together like what would be a show picture for us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and maybe we would even use it for our podcast, maybe to change things up.
Maybe we change things up.
I could show you during the break what it looks like.
I would like to see that.
But he says he's working on a second option.
All right, very cool.
So we have that. Many alert listeners and Twitter followers sent me an update on the story that we covered here on the podcast before I took an extended vacation, which was that there was a girl that I used to watch on 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, wait, we did this on the show, too.
We did it on the show,
yes,
as well?
Yes. Oh, yes.
All right.
Yes, and I was going to bring it up this morning.
Yes.
And I just never did.
Yeah. It was a girl on 90 Day Fiancé, and we read a story about how, it was an attractive gal, we read a story about how she was selling, she was farting into jars and then sealing it, and then selling the jars for $500.
To very lonely men.
To very lonely men. And supposedly, she was doing 50 jars a week.
I'm fine. Okay.
And was on a roll.
Yeah.
So that business is now, unfortunately, shut down.
I wonder why.
Well, she...
Too many returns.
She ended up in the hospital because of her... She thought she was having a heart attack or a stroke. But it turns out she was, believe it or not, filled with gas from the amount of protein she was eating in order to try to produce more farts.
That's all. Okay. I mean, this is some story you're going to tell at the dinner table.
Is that unbelievable?
On Thanksgiving. Come on. You know, you get what you deserve. Honestly.
And there were pictures of her. She took pictures in the hospital.
Of course she did.
She was drinking multiple protein shakes a day, various meats.
Well, if you, you know, there's something to that as well. Remember, Michael Kay did the Atkins diet. It's got to be 10 or 15 years ago. I don't remember when, but he was doing his radio show, and it was early on when he was doing his radio show, and he lost a considerable amount of weight, I want to say in 3-4 months. And he ended up in the hospital because he completely cut carbs out of his diet. It was mostly proteins he was eating, and it didn't go so well for him.
Yeah,
and I remember him saying he almost died. I don't know if that's where the drop comes from.
It might have been,
but he was in bad shape, and so that doesn't surprise me that she ended up in the hospital. But I mean, whatever.
And was Michael Kay selling farts in a jar as well? Or
I do not believe he
did
was.
It just for weight.
If he was, he would not have gotten $500 a jar.
No, he would not have. Nor would he have sold out 50 jars a week.
I would doubt it.
So unfortunately, she's going to have to come up with a new business because farting into jars is no longer a thing.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no, it's anytime an entrepreneur or small business fails, all of us are hurt somehow here in America.
It's so funny.
So thank you to the many people. Oh. Many people sent that to me.
I'm a very tiny small business owner, as you know,
are.
With my cornhole league. Mm-hmm. We take money.
It's a business,
know.
Sure.
But we can't get going. Every time we seem like we turn the corner, this COVID thing
Another
stops
COVID
us.
Thing.
right now. I don't know if we're going to continue now. We might have to shut down for a couple months.
Is that right?
It's unreal. It just cannot. Like, you finally hit on something that's working. It's like roadblock after roadblock.
Yes.
And in this case, it's a worldwide pandemic. So I can't complain. But
right. That is a roadblock of some sorts when a worldwide pandemic happens.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, I would suggest farting in jars. But
I'm not doing that.
That requires a... You know, I will say that there were various times in my life when I...
But you farted in jars.
I've never farted in a jar. But there have been times when I've... started to do like a weight training type thing where I was drinking protein shakes, and my body cannot take a lot of like the synthetic protein, that protein. It does make my stomach bad, and I do fart.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So I could have been bottling these up all along.
Oh, why don't you go buy some pure protein and start gassing it up?
Can we sell that on your one of your websites? I don't want to have to start a whole new website.
I can help you out with that.
You could, where you take payments already.
We're set up to take payments. I just have to make a note for Al's ass.
Yes, yes. Please do that. That would be
Al's
very,
ass gas.
My ass gas. In a second story that we brought to you here on the podcast as well, I believe you brought it up, that the United States Postal Service has a podcast.
That's correct.
And we were like, what could they possibly talk about?
Yes.
Well, a couple of our listeners, mainly one of them was Connor Cook.
Yeah.
And actually somebody else, I forget his name.
Connor has bad timing. He texted me while I was doing a Rutgers game last night.
Oh, okay.
No chance I'm responding to that in the middle of the game.
Yeah. So at least two of our listeners listened to it.
Okay.
And it appears that the first episode was about how zip codes got started.
I'd be interested to
know
that.
Yeah, I was like, if it wasn't, if somebody else was doing that, like if Joe Rogan randomly started telling a story about zip codes, I'd be like, okay, I'm interested.
Yeah, sure. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. There's a part of me that is fascinated by how mail works. Like, how do I send a letter?
Right.
Like, the calendars. Legit, there were some calendars that I sent to California that I dropped off in Middletown, New Jersey on Tuesday, and they were received on Thursday.
Yeah, I don't
at
understand.
The guy's house.
Right.
It's amazing for $3. Think about that.
I know. Anytime I hear someone complain about stamps going up, like, do you know what
I agree.
Where this can go in a short amount of time?
Well, even to a larger extent, like airfare. Like, you're getting on, and I know some comedian did this, but maybe George Carlin, I don't remember. But when you really sit and think about it, we're like, $500 to fly to and from California? Hey, jackass, get in the car and drive it. It'll take you a month.
Right. Like, meanwhile, you'll have a $200 meal somewhere.
Easy. You don't even think about it. You don't think twice about it. But it's like $250 each way to go across the country. And oh, by the way, in 5 hours. Like, at 1 o'clock, I'm in New York City. At 4 o'clock, California time, I'm in San Francisco. Seems like a bargain to me.
I always think about that either when I'm going on vacation or when I'm going home that day from vacation.
Yeah.
Like if I'm having breakfast at the hotel, I'll be like, you know, I'm going to be having like a dinner across the country.
I know. I think about it all the time. Like when I'm doing games, you know, and it's 9 o'clock and I'm starting to do a post-game show in Nebraska.
That would freak me out.
Wow. Like I'm on the air in 6 hours.
In New York City.
Like... Yeah, it is. It's crazy. It does freak me out.
Yeah, that would freak me out. Like, for whatever reason, I would think...
I have anxiety about
it. Yeah.
That's why I don't want to work anymore the day after the trips if I can change it up.
Yes.
I've done it for 5 years. Only one time did I get screwed, and it's an uncomfortable feeling.
So many things could go wrong.
Yeah, like the plane running out of fuel.
Plane running out of fuel, flight getting canceled.
Well, that doesn't happen because it's charters.
Oh, okay.
So I'm never really worried about that. Bad weather is a concern.
Mechanicals.
Well, yeah, 100%, although that's happened, and they get you another plane pretty quickly.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good because they're paying for the charter stuff.
Yes, but it is. It's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
You know, I remember sitting there at Northwestern last year in the middle of a snowstorm. I went out at halftime. I'm like, how are we getting out of here? And we did. And we did. I'm sitting there. It's like, God, it's 9:30. Who do I call? Like, I have to be at work in 6.5 hours.
And everyone you work with is sleeping right now.
And I'm in Evanston, Illinois. It is. It's bizarre. But that's air travel. It's amazing.
Yeah, air travel is amazing. One of the other things we talked about on the show today, which was a big segment, was about Afrin, the nasal spray.
I was stunned when I mentioned that G had no idea that it can be addictive.
Yeah. I used to use a different nasal spray when I was younger. It was not Afrin. It was in a different bottle. I'm just trying to think
of Vicks Vapor Mist.
What? Because
they have one too, which is good. I like Afrin. The Vicks is good too, though. There's also the saline mist, which is not.
It does nothing.
Saline spray. I mean, here's where saline spray helps. If you use the Afrin, and I never go with two anymore. It's one spray most in each, and that's it. But I used to would do the two or three that they tell you can do, and it would really dry you out where it would almost burn.
Right, it goes down the back of your throat.
The nasal spray then, if you a half hour later, will help ease that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't clear you up.
Do you remember when Vicks had, first of all, the paste that you could rub on your chest?
I have it at home still.
Do they still make the thing that it used to look like it was in a chapstick?
Oh, I don't know.
Holder. And you would take the top off and just breathe it in. It was like...
Well, that's what I do with the container. I will, before I go to the Afrin, I will open the Vicks container with that jelly-ish crap, and I will just suck that in, and it clears you out.
So that's what this thing must have been. They must have had put some stuff in the bottom of it, and you would smell it.
Let me ask you this. Why would smelling salts not work then if you're congested?
I don't know if the smelling salts go right to the... The smelling salts might blow right past the snot.
Mm. Okay, it's possible.
And not clear it up. I don't know, but that's a good question.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't like smelling salts.
No, I didn't say I want to do it. I was just curious if that was another way to kind of get it going.
I've never done the neti pot, although it sounds interesting.
It's horrendous. It is.
You lay your head on the table?
You lay your head sideways, and with the pot, you put the water in, and it takes a second.
Where do you put the bowl?
It goes in your nose. It goes in your top nostril, and then it goes up and through, and then it comes out the other side.
Ooh.
It's a weird feeling, and it doesn't work.
And does snot come out?
It, like, rinses you out, but then as soon as you're clear for a moment, it kind of rushes right back.
Right.
And I've tried it several times. I'm not speaking for anybody else. For me, does not work. But I have found that about everything. Like, you know, sore throat, try some honey. Okay, that works for 37 seconds. Try this, try that. No, how about this? Give me a goddamn antibiotic. That's what works.
Even the Cepacol spray that you spray in the back of your throat?
It works for five minutes.
Seconds.
Right, and then your throat hurts again.
Yeah.
You know, you have a cough. Well, try honey. Try this cough drop. Okay, how about this? Cough syrup.
I have never had a cough syrup that legitimately worked.
I've had it that has, so here's what works for me. I say cough syrup. The Mucinex with the cough suppressant, that works.
It's a pill or it's a liquid?
No, it's a pill. That helped me out a lot last week when I had with the COVID. And I was coughing on Monday. I was coughing like a beast. That was Monday afternoon to Monday night. That was the one thing I took all week. And that really helped with the cough.
Shout out Mucinex with cough suppressant.
Yeah. That might be Mucinex DM. I forget which one it was. But it really worked.
That would make sense because there was Robitussin DM.
Okay. Yeah. So, Great. I had a
really bad cough, and they gave me cough syrup with codeine.
Yeah.
Which is a prescription because that's like a light narcotic.
Yep.
Do you know, I had to stop taking it because I couldn't urinate.
Wow.
Like I had
to pee. That was a side effect?
Yeah, that was a side effect for some people. I had to pee, and I had to so super concentrate to pee, and it would only drip out a little at a time.
Man, that's awful.
Yeah, that was the codeine.
What a terrible feeling.
Yeah, so be careful.
Well, when I had the
codeine,
when I had the kidney stones 15 years ago, whatever it was before I was working the show, they gave me Percocet and then Demerol, those two, and I had constipation.
Yeah, that's what they say. Very difficult.
It took away the pain. And at one point, I was running around like a madman. I was fired up. And I had people offering me money for those pills.
Oh, yeah. No, people would love some.
One guy was offering me $25 a pill. I mean, it's so tempting. I'm like, wow, I could see how this is easy to get into.
Then all of a sudden you're a drug pusher.
Yeah, and I didn't. I kept them because I wanted them, just because the pain I felt with those kidney stones was horrendous. And there was no way I was getting rid of them. I ultimately threw them out because time they expired. But
when I had the hernia operations, they gave me Percocet to take home. And I took one pill one day and one pill the next day. I didn't take any more because they said that too, like it'll bind you up.
Yeah.
And then if you have a hernia or any type of, you can't push.
Yeah, so I'm surprised push, they didn't give you that.
I know,
then.
It's very odd.
Why not just say, take three Advil?
Yeah, call me in the morning.
It's going to help a little bit at least.
Yes.
Man, that is nothing worse than being in the hospital and coming home and having to, like I think, it's amazing. I think like my son had, you know, had brain surgery, as you now know, and I've said back in, I guess it's a year and a half ago. And I'll never forget, he had it on, I had the surgery on a Thursday. It was a Thursday or a Friday, I forget. I think it was Thursday. And I'll never forget, like, going home Sunday. I was like, I didn't know what was more nuts, having my wife having a baby and being sent home 2 days later, or my son having brain surgery as a 15-year-old and being sent home 2 days later. And I'll never forget, like, the instructions they gave us. And this wasn't a hospital around the corner. It was in Manhattan. So, and not easy to get in touch with anybody. And I just remember thinking, all of this we have to do? The cleaning, the wrapping, this pill at this time, and then this medicine at this time. This is for this. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, what if we screw this up? And it's amazing. It worked out. But, jeez.
Did they have to make an incision, or did they go through an opening already?
No, they made.
Yeah, I wondered, like, can they go through the nose or the ears?
No, not this. This they had I mean, it's really, you make the decision to have the surgery because there were other options. And as it turned out, it was a good thing we didn't do the other option because it would have been, could have been catastrophic. So we opt for the surgery, and all credit to my son because he's like, I want the surgery. I want the thing out of my head. Had a tumor in his head. He's like, I want it out. Okay. Which I thought was going to be treatable with medicine, and it wouldn't have been, which thank God we did it. And I just remember, made the decision. Okay, great. And then you go in for like the pre-surgery, the pre-op stuff a week before, and he's explaining to you what he's doing. I'm like, whoa, you're cutting the skull. I'm like, all right, just do me a favor. I trust you. I've read enough. Trust you. I have a lot of hope in you. I've read a lot of your reviews and your clients, and great. Just please take care of my son. I don't want to know.
They had to open the skull?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
They had to cut through the skull and then open a flap. I mean, it's, dude. And the fact that you could see the stitching if you cut, he didn't even have his hair messed up.
Oh, they didn't even shave his head?
No. They had it's amazing. Even my wife could not believe they shaved a tiny little portion so that they could separate the hair where they made the incision. And you would have had never known that he had done what he had done, unless after he took the shower and you cleaned or patted down the stitches and the dry blood, you saw it. But once you the hair kind of combed over, no idea. None. I have pictures of him in the hospital laying there. It's like, huh? He's got a full head of hair. How did you do that?
Yeah, I would think they need to shave that.
That's what we expected. And he said, no problem.
They got to shave your private area when they give you a hernia surgery.
I'm sure they do.
I got to cough, Jerry.
I'm sure they do. So big shout out to Dr. David Harder in New York City. Amazing work.
So how about that? So that's good. Pretty good. That's pretty. Would you say he did a pretty good job?
He did a great job.
Pretty good job.
Yes, he did.
We talked also a little briefly about pharmacists, and yes. One of the callers said enough pharmacists don't do anything other than count pills, and there was a battle going back and forth between pharmacists, but it reminded me of my days working in the pharmacy, and Eddie in particular thought this was creepy when it came up on the air.
Yeah, no, me too. I heard this.
Keep in mind, I was like a high school senior / first year of Middlesex County College.
Sure.
Where me and my friend Paul, who I did my other podcast with, we both worked at Drug Fair.
Right.
And when we worked in the pharmacy, when a girl would come in for her prescription and we handed it to her, if it was a flat package, we knew that was birth control pills.
Right.
And then we judged her.
Well, I don't think it matters that you were in college. I think you'd be doing the same thing today.
I would be doing the same thing today. Because it's not like I was looking through people's prescriptions. When you would get the bag, the little bags that the prescriptions come in, you know, you can tell whether it's a pill container or it's a flat thing.
Yeah.
And birth control pills back then always came in the flat thing so that you could poke out the day. and know that you took the pill.
Plus, the girl's 26. She's, you know.
Right.
You never know.
You never know.
I'll tell you the one thing I think about are therapists and counselors. Like, I do believe they don't share your information publicly.
Right.
But behind closed doors, I guarantee
you
are the subject of conversation when they go out to dinner with their friends.
Yes. Now, they may say, I have a client who...
Yeah, I'm not saying they're outing your name, but I think they're telling life stories.
Yes.
You know, I do believe that. So why would someone making $12 an hour at Walgreens not do the same thing?
Yeah, by the way, back then I was making $4.25 an hour.
And you felt like you were rich.
I was going to be laughing it up with birth control pills. It was also odd when someone that you knew was dropping off or picking up a prescription.
Sure.
Because that's weird.
Well, depending upon what the prescription is.
Yeah, because you feel like you're involved in their life. But it then reminded me of, this one was really unfortunate. So after working at Drug Fair, my friend Paul went on to work at Dollar Video, which was a video store in Island, New Jersey, prior to the Blockbusters. And they had popular movies, and then they had a very small porno section. So one of the guys that we worked with at Drug Fair, his father came into the video store when I was hanging. I would hang out in the video store with my friend Paul when he was working. I would just hang out. And we knew this was the father of a guy we worked with, but this guy didn't know we worked with his sons. And the father got a gay porno called Black Workout Part 2.
Okay.
It was African-American gentlemen making love to each other in a gym. And...
hey, you like what you like.
We really... that threw us off as young... as young 20-somethings.
Yeah. Could you imagine back in the day? Now, clearly any of that's available anywhere you want.
Yes, now it's available.
Everywhere. And I never went in and rented one of those.
Black Workout 2?
That either. But just, I've never, an X-rated video, I never rented one.
Really?
Never. Never, never, never. I could never bring myself to walk in and do that. Can you imagine being a father and walking in and doing that?
Right.
I'm not saying mail order. You could have done that. Sure. You could have done that. But like walk into a video store?
Yep.
And rent an X-rated movie as an adult with kids?
Yeah, it's weird.
No way. And then where are you watching it? In the living room?
Maybe your wife has different hours than you.
I guess that's what he was, or
maybe the wife goes to sleep.
What if she wakes up?
What are you watching? Well, this is Black Workout Part 2.
I mean, gosh. And I don't even care what type it is. Just the fact that
it's a porno.
You're an adult with children and a family, and you're going to put that in and take that out and start wax on, wax off.
Well, luckily, my friend Paul worked at the video store, so we would just take them from the store.
You had an advantage.
We had an advantage. We had an insider.
No, you never had children in a family, so you could still go.
No, but I still watched them when I was living at home, so I would have to be very quiet.
I would say, when did you do that? 2 o'clock in the morning?
Probably.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Did you learn a lot?
I'm trying to think when I would have done that, but I guess so. And then have no volume on.
That takes the fun out.
Yeah. For the longest time, I didn't even know pornos had volume. I thought they were silent films.
Where's Charlie Chaplin?
Yep. Had to keep it very quiet. Super quiet, Jerry.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
All right.
Tomorrow is Thursday already, right?
It is.
There's no Thursday night game this week?
No. It's two Saturday games. 4:30 and then 8. I got very lucky because I got Rutgers at 2, and they moved the Cowboy game to Saturday, 8 o'clock, as opposed to 4:30.
Oh, wow. You did get lucky. See, every once in a while, you got unlucky last week. You couldn't go to do Cowboys-Cardinals. That sucks.
I know. I would have rather gotten unlucky this week, to be quite honest.
Oh, absolutely.
One thing, doing the game, and I love
that
stadium.
Yes, I know. That stinks.
It's what it is.
It is what it is. All right, so we'll see you tomorrow morning back here live at 5 a.m. See ya!
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long. And most days it doesn't suck.
All right, here we go. It's Wednesday. It's midweek. It's the Fan. What is up, the Eddie Scazzeri? God, you're handsome. Nice to see you. And Al Julius Dukes, what is up on this frigid Wednesday morning?
Good morning, Jerry. I was listening to the overnight program, as I do as I'm prepping this show. A fellow named Emmanuel Babari was on. And I only have a tip for him. It's not broadcast related, but he's trying to get people to reach out to him on Twitter. And his Twitter handle has the word Babari in it. There is no
spell it.
There is no chance anyone's gonna. I work here. I couldn't find it. You got to like change that up to like.
I agree. Emmanuel the Great.
Something. EB instead of Emmanuel Babari.
Very difficult if people don't know who you are, how to spell your last name.
Has anyone checked in with Sal? Is he still alive?
I texted him yesterday.
You did?
It's running through his house.
Is he in rough shape? Like, is it like it hit you pretty hard?
I don't know.
Not
sure. To be honest. I mean, he said he's feeling better.
All right. That's good.
So I hope that's the case.
Yeah.
I was surprised when I didn't hear him this morning.
Me too.
That's not good.
I heard Emmanuel Babari on.
And then searched for him on Twitter. Couldn't find him.
I was like, I have no idea how to spell Babari. I would spell it, this is how I wrote it down. B-A-B-A-R-I. See, I did two R's. R-R.
Okay, that could work. Is that how you spell it?
I don't know.
Really never find it?
I never found it.
Yeah, me neither.
Emmanuel Babari. Jerry, I have three brief basketball stories to begin.
We don't have to be brief. We got an hour.
Oh, a whole full hour? Yeah, I know, but sometimes people get scared off by basketball talk.
I'd like you to break it down.
Especially my basketball knowledge is very scary to some people.
On a scale of 1 to 10, you're about a 0.8.
For example, I am aware that Kyrie Irving plays for the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, good start.
And he's playing tonight in Indiana for the first time since the coronavirus
Certainly
stuff.
Appears to be the case, yes.
It is somewhat, and I'm sure people brought this up when it was first announced that he was able to come back. Like, basketball teams have been decimated by the coronavirus, so we're bringing back an unvaccinated guy to take the place of vaccinated players. This is where we are in 2020.
Well, but he's also had it, so he's got 90 days of
freedom.
Full, thick antibodies.
Man, he should be walking around all cocky right now.
I'm sure he is. Rightly so.
Yeah.
Like I just got through it. I feel pretty good right now.
You could do anything.
That I've got 3 months of... What would you say?
Come at me, bro.
Right.
Come at me, bro.
That's right.
I know. I have a wedding I have to go to on Friday night. It's going to be filled with coronavirus, people.
I would think it's hard to think that it won't be.
Yeah, so what do I do? You know I'd love to get out of things.
Get ready to work from home next week.
Oh. I thought you were going to say, listen, you got to cancel.
No, I'm not going to say that. Plans. Listen, I got in a lot of trouble for suggesting you cancel last time.
Oh, right.
We're not cancel. I never accepted. You never committed.
You committed, right.
And there were a few around here that were not happy with me for offering you that advice. So I'm not saying a word.
Okay.
You do what you got to do.
You do what you got to do, but it's probably going to be a coronavirus super spread event, a wedding.
Well, yeah, I would think so. In Jersey, or you got to go somewhere?
Somewhere near down the Jersey Shore, even.
All right.
So it's really not bad.
Maybe you'd be lucky. Maybe they'll be on the beach.
It would be cold, although the coronavirus would probably blow right past me and not go into my nostrils.
Yeah, you've done well.
So far, I have.
You've done well.
Knock on wood, as they say.
Why don't you go with a clothespin on your nose and a mask over your mouth.
And sunglasses indoors.
That's right.
Because it could penetrate my eye membranes.
I guess.
My eye mucous membranes.
I'm so confused with the whole thing.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows?
Who knows, Jerry?
Jerry Jones is on the Fan in Dallas. He's basically admitting, we have no idea what we're doing with this. Like, we're trying hard.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, no one knows.
Good morning.
Yeah.
But we do know that Kyrie returns tonight.
He does.
So that's exciting for basketball.
Actually.
There's, I'm going to say, some buzz.
There is buzz.
Buzz, no buzz, there would be buzz.
I would totally agree, especially the fact that they haven't played well their last few games, which is interesting timing because they were playing well
until the three-game losing streak. So, yeah, this will be – I'm looking forward to watching.
Now, Jerry, I'm aware because I'm a huge NBA fan, but for the audience that doesn't follow basketball, the Indiana Pacers, are they good?
Not really. They lost to the Knicks last night. There are several games under 500, I believe.
Okay, so they're not so great. So
they're not.
So probably would be a Kyrie Irving Nets win tonight. It'll break the losing streak, and we'll be like, Kyrie's back.
I will tell you that if I was a betting man, and some days I am.
Sometimes.
I 100% would bet the Nets tonight.
You would.
Now, I 100% bet the Nets the other night because I didn't think they'd lose three in a row, and I got it handed to me.
And you lost.
Yeah, so who knows? I mean, that's why they play the games, Al.
That's why they play the games.
Knicks had a good fourth quarter, though, last night.
Is that right?
They did. As they, I got in the car after the Rutgers game. Who beat Michigan, by the way.
That was my second basketball story.
I got in the car and I put the Knick game on. I'm like, wow, close game. And then they just made the shots down the stretch. So, hey, good for them.
I don't think I could. There's certain sports I can't follow on the radio. Basketball.
Well, no, don't say that. That's what I do.
Oh.
If you don't mind. Just saying. I try to, that's my job. I'm trying to make you follow along. Now, part of you following along and being able to follow along is having even a little bit of interest.
And knowledge of the sport.
Yeah, but those interest would help first.
Okay, that's fair. I was just saying, even things that I'm really into, like I'm really into the NFL.
Yeah.
I try to concentrate on listening, and then I get lost in my thoughts, and then something happens, and I don't know where on the field we are. I do like when broadcasters on radio go, and like Gene Deckerhoff is where I first heard this when I was working down in Tampa Bay. He'd go, "We move right to left on your radio."
Yeah. It allows you, that's the TV screen you're looking at.
Yeah, it's visually, I know. Yes. Oh, all right.
Yep.
This is where we are on the field, even though it doesn't matter when you're listening on the radio, whether you're moving left to right.
But it allows your imagination to envision what you would be seeing if you were watching on TV.
And Bob Papa even will be like, the Giants are in white pants.
Yes. You got to do that.
Do you
to start
do that
the
for
game.
Rutgers basketball?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, you
to start
do?
The game. Yeah,
Rutgers
yeah.
is in there. Do you say red or do you do a really specific kind of red?
No, I do not do very
scarlet
specific.
Red.
I don't do very specific.
Kyrie tonight, my other story, I saw, Jerry, that Rutgers won last night. You did that game.
They beat
Michigan for the first time ever?
First time ever. They were 0-14 against them. Yeah, it's not like they played them 100 times.
Right.
But they were 0-14 against them. And a couple years ago, when Rutgers was 17-0 at home, Michigan went in and beat them.
Is that right?
Yeah, so this was... And it's for Steve Peichel, who has done a lot of firsts, as you will, in the Rutgers program history. This is another first.
That's pretty good.
He crosses off the list. Yeah, it was really good. And the crowd was great. Everyone wore the mask. I was really impressed. You looked around. No one took their mask off.
Oh, you got to wear a mask inside?
You do.
Really?
You do. And there's no food anymore.
What?
It's just soft drinks and water sales. That's it. Because of the spread.
I can't get a pretzel, a hot pretzel?
No. No, you can't. It's crazy. And so I was sitting there wondering, I'm like, why is this place going to be half empty? Because it's very difficult. And you got to show proof of vaccine.
Proof of vaccine, mask, no pretzels.
Yeah. And you know
soft
what?
Soft drinks. Only.
Now, there weren't, it was sold out. Tickets sold for sure. The game sold out months ago. But there were probably, instead of 8,000, there were probably 7,000 people there. You could see the corners up top weren't full. But I was really impressed how many people did show up. Because if you're not vaccinated, you have to have proof of a negative test, which, as you know now, is almost impossible.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
Is that a Rutgers rule about the masks? Or like if I go to a Devils game, do I have to have a mask
on?
No,
I think it's a Rutgers rule, but I'm not 100. I think it's building to building, to be quite honest. But I don't know the answer to that, to be 100% honest.
I did not know that.
Yeah, no, me neither. I'm not sure. I don't know, to be honest with you.
But people had their masks on and they were following the rules. They were sipping soft drinks. What, like through the straw, through the side of the mouth?
I wasn't watching. I don't know.
That's how I would do it.
I wasn't studying people sipping their straws.
I would put the straw right up under my mask.
Like an IV drip.
Yeah, like an IV drip of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it's funny. So, yeah, they did a good job last night.
And then the third brief basketball story I have is a Connecticut high school. This was a girls' basketball game. The Connecticut High School girls' basketball team, Sacred Heart Academy of Hamden, beat Lyman Hall Wallingford 92-4.
Well, I mean, they didn't give up 100.
That's true.
So my question here would be, because I'm sure they're going to take a beating for this.
Yeah.
In the second half, who's playing?
Well, I think it was like 80-0 at the half.
At halftime?
I think so.
Oh, good Lord.
So, which means they didn't put a lot of points on the board the second half.
Oh, my God. So they did take their foot off the gas, but their foot was on the gas for a long time.
And one of the, over at Sacred Heart Academy, one of the, do you say nuns or sisters?
I guess sisters.
One of the sisters who runs the school, I probably should have had her job title. She apologized.
Yeah, I get it. Sorry. Is that how she sounded?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, at some point, I would think when you get up by 40, at that point, you got to start pulling girls off the floor.
Yeah.
Is it too late now to say sorry.
That was their message they sent to the, over to Lyman Hall Wallingford. As
my
their,
bad.
As their apology.
Well, it's not their bad. My they're bad. Good. You know, and you wonder, too, Lyman Hall, why even play if you're that bad?
Yeah, come on, Lyman
That's
Hall.
That's really, I mean, not good. 80 to nothing at halftime?
I think it was 80. It was 80 Holy to nothing at moly. Some point.
Wow. That's now, I've seen some games, like in college, big time programs will have what they call bye games to fill out their schedule. Well, they'll play a Division II team or a very low level Division I team. They really have no chance to win. And the other team gets paid to make the trip and whatever. And some of those games are really tough to watch. These are high school girls, though.
Yeah, but this,
my God,
Sacred Heart Academy of Hamden must be pretty good. I'd like to see them go up against Rutgers men's basketball.
All right, shut up.
See who wins that one.
Or the Nets with Kyrie Irving.
Or the Nets with Kyrie.
That's right.
Do you think Kyrie Irving could beat? He's only one guy.
No, stop.
It's
no.
Kyrie Irving versus.
No. You just maul
the
him.
Sacred Heart Academy of Hamden.
No.
Girls bass high school girls basketball team.
No, he couldn't.
Well, they could play the triangle and just keep passing it around and from downtown.
Let me ask you this. Could the five of us beat the Sacred Heart? I would say no.
I would say it wouldn't even be
smoked.
Close. Right. It might
even
be
even with Boomer and good feet.
Right. It might be 92-4.
Nah, it wouldn't be that bad because Boomer's a gigantic human being.
And he is competitive. He'd be boxing out those high school girls under the basket.
We're not beating them.
We're not beating them though.
Eddie would have a stroke. You would
I'd
quit.
Be exhausted right. going up and down
I
the
mean,
court.
You'd be done after three trips up and down the floor. Gio wouldn't get off the bench. I would play. And who else would we
It'd
need?
Really be you and Boomer.
Yeah. Two-man game.
Two-man
Inside
game.
Out. The problem is I can't shoot.
Right. You just have to try to get the ball. And they probably have some tall girls on the
oh,
team.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
High school girls.
And here's what I know. St. John Vianney in Homedale, which is where my son goes, their girls program is off the charts and has been for decades now. Legit, going back to when I was in high school. They win state championships routinely. Watching these girls at that level shoot the ball with such precision is unbelievable. So we'd get our ass. We'd do better than 92-4.
Yes.
We would not win. No chance.
And then we should schedule Lyman Hall Wallingford.
And then beat them.
We would beat them easily. They only scored 4 points the other night.
And we'd be 1-1.
I wonder who was the leading scorer. Like, do you think one girl got all 4 points?
I don't know. I'm sure we can find a box score somewhere.
Right.
Right. She shot 1 for 17, but she had 4 points and she was 2 of 2 from the line.
Right.
That's funny.
She was the star player of the game for them.
What is it? Sacred Heart Academy?
It's Sacred Heart Academy of Hamden.
Okay. Against who?
Against Lyman, L-Y-M-A-N.
Right.
Lyman Hall Wallingford. It was a big Monday night matchup.
Well, it really wasn't, actually.
92-4.
I want to find the box score of this thing.
From downtown. Yes.
Wow. So they, let's see. They the Lyman coach says, they showed us no mercy.
That's right. You
and the coach got suspended.
What?
They suspended him.
For running up the score?
Yeah.
That's a that's not right.
They did. How do I find a box score of this? I'm very curious.
What did they suspend him for? What's like what policy
up the
did
score,
he break?
I don't
sportsmanship.
Know. According to the Hartford Courant, unless there's got a paywall on this, which you know in today's day and age, God knows. Let's see. Suspend the coach is Jason Kirk. He was suspended. Results be the school. Yeah. So the school president, Sister Sheila O'Neill,
Sister Sheila
issued a statement of remorse. Sacred Heart Academy values the lessons taught and cultivated through athletic participation, including ethical and responsible behavior, leadership, and strength of character. Last night's game does not align with our values or philosophy. Sorry.
I'm sorry. They learned the lesson.
Well,
they learned the lesson that if you show up to play Sacred Heart Academy of Hamden of Hamden, you're going to get beat down.
They are considered one of the best teams in the state of Connecticut. Yeah, you're right. They led 56-0 at halftime and 80-0 going into the fourth quarter. Oh, my God.
I would have stayed to watch that game. Like, I would not have left early.
You're terrible, man.
Like, girls, let's go. You better put up some points.
Did you see about 2 months ago, I forget what, I don't remember what university it was, but he called the timeout. They were playing at Iowa, and he made his team run wind sprints during the timeout.
That's not going to help your performance.
He was so pissed how badly they were playing in front of the crowd and everything. He called timeout just to make them run wind sprints.
And then they go in the game. They're tired from the wind sprints.
I suppose. They were losing big anyway.
My goodness.
So, yeah. I'm going to find a box score during the break.
Yeah, I want to see who was like, who led scoring for both teams. Like, did I want to see if one girl had all 4 points.
I will,
or if they spread that, spread the score around.
My God, 29-0 after one, 56-0 after two, 80-0 after three.
How did they get
three?
No points?
The ball didn't go in.
Oh.
I wonder if they were pressing them on every play, too.
What are they? I know, like, in hockey, it's called shots on goal. What's it called in basketball when you put
field
up
goals.
Shots? Field goals.
Field goal attempts.
So they'd be, like, 0 for whatever. Or
70.
Or they were like, 2 for 70.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're right. Maybe they didn't get any shots.
Or they turned the ball over 30 times.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right, let's take a break. I will do my best to see if I can find a box score for this. I don't know. It's likely, but I'll give it a try. 5:17. We got Boomer and Geo at 6 coming up here on The Fan.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, coming up on 25 after 5. Hello, hello, hello. I could not find a box score to that high school basketball game, but I will tell you this. those two teams have to play again in about 4 weeks.
Oh, revenge game.
There's going to be no revenge. Revenge what?
They should find a professional WNBA player and
that
put her in
funny.
Uniform and dominate that team that spanked them.
That would actually be pretty funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got to play again on the 28th of January, so 3 weeks from now.
All right.
Want to go?
No, I'll pass on that. I keep seeing all this news about Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Yeah.
And like, oh, they're making it like he's not going to be on the Browns. Like,
maybe he won't be. I don't know.
I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I only watch the Red Zone, so I see only probably the
for
good
sure.
and the bad.
Yeah.
I feel like Giants fans would take that guy in a second.
I think it's very similar in a lot of ways.
Really?
I think the Browns probably feel like they've underachieved, and he's the face of that franchise. And they have not. I mean, they're 7-9. They haven't played great. They got rid of Beckham. You thought that was going to be addition by subtraction. They won one game, and then all of a sudden, right back to where they were. I don't know. They haven't been good.
I feel like, though, when I look at that guy, he's the quarterback.
I guess I don't watch him enough to know, to be quite honest with you. I'm with you. I see the highlights, Red Zone. I am not watching the Browns.
What?
I'm just not. So I really don't know. Now you think about the talent they have: Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Jarvis Land. Like, they've got players on that team, and yet it doesn't really amount to much.
Even good players on defense.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, I would think if you're the Giants, you'd probably take him too. But here's the question, though.
All right.
Would you take him and give him a long-term deal for $30 million a year?
I would not.
You can't.
No, you can't.
And that goes back to the conversation. As boring as it is, it's why you come back with Daniel Jones next year. You give him one last try on a make or break. We ain't giving you an extension next year. You're playing on the deal you have. You're either good or you're not. You're either going to stay on the field or you won't. Then we'll move on if we have to.
All we'll have to look forward to around here next year is the hopes that the Jets, Rob Saleh and Zach Wilson, take the step
sure.
forward.
Oh, yeah.
Because if the Giants come back with Daniel Jones and
they might.
And Joe Judge, this is going into it seems not exciting.
Right. No one's going to be pumped up for the Giants.
No buzz.
There was no buzz this year for them.
There was no buzz.
There really wasn't. Even though they went 6 games last year and everybody lost their mind because they could have made the playoffs as a bad team, which was stupid.
Yes.
People thought they'd be better, but I don't know if there was buzz about them. There'll be nothing next year. But That said, I hear that there's going to be a clown parade across a bridge, so perhaps maybe Joe Judge won't be back. Who knows?
I was listening to Carton and Roberts yesterday afternoon, and I heard them I saw they tweeted out a date for it.
They did, the 28th, I believe.
I saw February 4th.
Oh, is that what it was now? Yeah. Okay, the 28th is a basketball game. Right, February 4th.
February 4th, they tweeted out that they want you to dress as a clown and in your Giants jerseys.
Right.
And they're going to walk across, I guess, the Brooklyn Bridge.
They are.
Now, when I was listening, it seemed like if the Giants got rid of Joe Judge, they were going to call
Correct.
Off the clown parade.
This is for them to show ownership how disappointed they are.
Oh, okay. So if
Joe Judge and the Giants.
If they keep Joe Judge, then the clown parade is on.
Correct. There was at one point, they were trying to come up with a name for the parade.
Yeah.
And Evan was giving it his best shot to where Craig just said, stop talking. Leave that to
enough.
Me. You're not funny.
And then so I'm listening to that, and I'm hearing that going on. Then I click over to where I go through my news feeds of sports things, and then I see Jacksonville Jaguars fans.
Well, that's where this started.
Oh, is that how they?
This is how the conversation started.
Oh, okay, because I caught it in the middle of, I heard Craig talking about that they were going to do it. Then I saw that, I was like, oh, no. So I texted the story to Craig.
Yeah.
So they had already known
they
this.
They did, and that's when he came. He said, you know, we should do something. That's a great idea.
Oh, okay. So Jaguars fans are going to the game.
Correct. Dressed as clowns.
Dressed as clowns because they want to get rid of their GM.
I can't wait for you to pronounce this one.
Trent Baalke.
Oh, look at you.
Nailed it.
That's pretty good. You don't know Sony Michel, but you got Trent Baalke.
Trent Baalke. They want him fired.
I thought for sure you'd go Trent Baalke.
he spells it B-A-A. L-K-E.
There you
Baalke.
Go. Look at you. It's almost like you know football.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely,
oh,
Jerry.
Yes.
So they'll be dressed as clowns. But like Craig was saying, like, how much impact can they have? Like, how many people are going to go to that game? This is not going to be that
I don't know,
many.
But if you get 40,000 people dressed as clowns, it'd be funny.
Yeah, but everyone won't do it. But if you see a bunch of clowns crossing the Brooklyn Bridge, that's got to get on the news, right?
I guess. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. How many favors can we call in?
In between very serious COVID things and murders in the city, be like, and 3,000 clowns walked across the bridge.
Could you imagine the email? Attention, Maurice Dubois. Here's your assignment for today.
Or like, I'll just send a Maurice. Hi, this is for Maurice Dubois. Just a heads up, there'll be a bunch of clowns in Giants jerseys walking across the bridge if you want to send a camera crew out there.
And we want interviews.
And yes, please look for the...
You might even find a guy that could be in a Speedo.
Yeah.
You never know.
Look for the bald clown. Craig's got to do that thing where you put the orange hair that goes around like how our uncles used to look, where you would have
the bald head.
The bald on top but hair on the side.
What a terrible look.
That was a terrible look.
It sure was.
Oh, my gosh.
Many bad looks through the years.
I had an uncle that had that. My Uncle Charlie had that haircut.
And no one told him.
No, but back then in the 70s, that was what...
Oh, the 70s.
That's
okay.
What uncles did, 70s and 80s.
I suppose.
You kept that hair on the side.
You know what I did, speaking of uncles in the 70s and aging? So there was this article about anti-aging and how, you know, this like Tom Brady and Jeff Bezos, and they're spending a lot of money on, you know, whether it's blood spinning or whether it's HGH or all these there's a lot of different treatments now. You got money, and clearly it works. And so there was a link to where you can do your status. Are you aging properly? Are you aging rapidly? Have you cut some time off? I'm like, I'll do this. Why not?
It was like a quiz, online quiz.
And it's like 20 questions. And so I go through the whole thing, and you got to put your birthday in and everything. And when I get my result, I press, you know, click to submit. It comes up. You're boring. You're exactly your age. Okay.
Well, in some ways that was good. You weren't aging.
I know. I was disappointed,
quickly.
Though. I thought I'd maybe shave like 6 months off or something.
You're working out.
Well, I haven't been actually, and that's been part of the issue. But I was disappointed.
Yeah.
It said, you're boring.
You're boring. You are where you are who you thought we thought you were.
Where they thought, but not where I thought.
And we let you off the hook.
I know. Oh, well.
So that's, will you be joining this clown parade?
I will not be.
I will not be.
Are you going to go walk across the bridge on a Friday afternoon?
No. I will support it by watching social media videos
Absolutely.
On it, and listening to it live or however we do it.
By the way, if you took up a Friday afternoon to go walk across the Brooklyn Bridge,
yeah,
Boomer might hang you over the side by your ankles.
That's true.
And call you a fraud.
That's true. I could not get away with that.
I don't think so.
Then yesterday, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. Now, he was a backup quarterback, right?
Yeah, pleading for the Lions, didn't he?
He was the dude who ran out of the back of the end zone by accident, I think.
Maybe. I don't remember.
When he was on the Lions. He took Joe Judge to task and said...
Well, him too? Okay. Whatever. Get in line. Right.
His quote was, "Your team has won 2 games by double digits. You've lost 14 games by double digits. You should not be talking Timmy Toughnuts style."
Who's Timmy Toughnuts?
I don't know. But he doesn't like Joe Judge's Timmy Toughnuts talk.
I agree. But there's a point of, I would think, humility where you just say, it doesn't look great. We got work to do. Next question. Like, I don't know why, like, that 11-minute thing and, you know, part of the whole clown parade thing came from the Jaguars for sure, but then they linked it to this ain't no clown show operator, or whatever the hell he said about the Giants.
Yes.
Like, but you look like one. Like, they're not losing close games lately. They're getting blown out by not good teams.
Yes.
It's like, at some point, you are what you are. And right now, they stink.
They had 19 points in the last 3 games.
Yeah.
Total.
I know. It's really.
They stink.
And it's one of those things where you sit there and say, they can't be this bad, are they? Yes, they are.
And then yesterday, there were a bunch of stories that Jim Harbaugh at Michigan is thinking about coming back to the NFL.
I saw one reporter, I don't remember who it was, but I saw them tweet out, and this is where I started searching because I didn't know what was going on. He goes, at what point did a source that says someone's thinking about something become breaking news? I'm like, what is this now?
Yeah.
And I literally copied and pasted that, and the Jim Harbaugh story came right up.
Yeah, so then that comes up. So, of course, Giants fans yesterday were ooh, we get. But then I already saw another report on a report based on a report that's not really a report.
Oh, my God.
That said.
Bears?
Raiders.
Oh, okay.
Because that he and his wife lived out there and liked it out there.
Interesting.
That would be an interesting move.
It would be. And
although,
he was...
I was just thinking Raiders in Oakland. They're not there anymore, Jerry. They moved
in Vegas.
To Vegas.
Yeah.
Still West Coast, though, I guess.
But I would have thought, because I saw it too, my first thought was Chicago, because he was there. It makes sense to me.
Oh, right.
And he's done well, at least in San Francisco. He did well with Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. Well, Chicago's got a quarterback issue. You know, who knows about Justin Fields? To me, that's the mentality you need. I thought that would be the perfect fit, but Vegas makes sense too. But then again, who's their quarterback?
I don't know. They said he started with the Raiders as a coach.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Raiders.
How about that?
He probably just wants to go to press conferences and say, the Raiders.
Or he just wants to live in Vegas.
The Raiders. Instead of Michigan. Imagine going from Michigan
to Vegas.
To Vegas. Yeah, oh, what
it
a could. Dream.
It sounds lovely.
Michigan seems super cold.
It is. And it's super dark and dank and depressing
yes.
in the winter. I'm sure it's kind of like, well, I used to go to New Hampshire all the time with Columbia in the winter. It is such a depressing place to be in the
really?
Winter. Oh, my God. Not only is there snow, but there's, you know, people driving it with ease because they're used to it up there. So, you know, when there's a lot of snow on the ground for a long time and then the dirt piles into this, it just looks gross.
Right. Ice and dirt. And then
sometimes it's an awful place to be in the winter.
Turns to slush.
And by the way, there's no prize to be here in the winter either, but it's better than Michigan.
Whenever I think of Michigan, I think, first of all.
Roseanne?
I did not watch Roseanne, so no. I don't think of Roseanne. I think of that Michigan is right on the lake, and it's right across from Canada, so it's got to be freezing.
Yeah, sure.
Then I think of that Michael Moore documentary, Roger and Me, about Flint, Michigan, which was all depressing because it's
depressing.
Depressing economic.
Yeah. Play. Think about Eminem.
And I think about Eminem. Yeah. And then I think about the fight between the Pacers and the Pistons.
Oh, sure.
And then I think about Bob Seger.
And the Silver Bullet Band.
Yeah, from Detroit.
How about that?
And then I think about...
Do you about Axel Foley and Beverly Hills
no,
Cop?
No, I
and
don't.
The Detroit
that,
Lions jacket?
No, because that would be good. Because that,
yes.
that was Beverly Hills. Like that would bring positive. I always go right to negative.
Well, but he was in Detroit where it was not so good before his buddy gets shot. And then he goes and investigates it out in Beverly Hills.
Oh, I see. That's how he got there.
Yes.
And was wearing the
but
Detroit...
But that jacket is like legendary.
Yes.
Like I would wear... I remember saying I asked for that jacket for Christmas back in the day. And my parents were like... You're a Cowboy fan. I'm like, I know, Beverly Hills Cop. They never got me the jacket.
They probably checked out the Sears catalog and it was sold out.
It's $194.
Yeah.
Not getting it.
Yeah, you're not getting your Axel Foley jacket.
By the way, when we were in Detroit for the Super Bowl in 2005, I guess it was, a lot of reporters were making that trip over to Canada.
Is that right?
Apparently the strip club's really good.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know.
No, I've heard. I've never been to those strip clubs,
that was,
but I've heard.
That, I mean, there were, let's just say, reporters that you've heard of on the bus, on the shuttle buses going to media availabilities discussing their night out the previous night.
Right?
And it was, you could have rolled a tape recorder and got some people in trouble.
Right.
Very easily.
Back then, though, people weren't as expecting of being recorded as we are now.
Exactly right. Are we going to take a break? 5:36. We got more to do. Boomer and Geo at the top on the Fan. All right, very fast-moving hour coming up on 5:45. Real quick before you move on, I did find, and I would like to thank on Twitter because he gave me the link, or at least the search. So Fred M. Morgillo, do appreciate you sending this over. So Connecticut Insider apparently puts out box scores as best they can from all these games. But it's not a box score like you would expect, so I don't see shot attempts or anything like that. All I see is that the two girls scored 2 points apiece, and they each had a field goal. So there were no free throws made. I don't know what their shooting percentage was, what the rest of the team did. And then for the Sacred Heart team, they had, wow.
They scored 92 points.
Yes.
To
one,
the other
two,
girls,
three,
four points.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 girls scored.
So they spread it out.
They did spread it out, and no one scored more than 13 points. So it wasn't like someone went for 50. Everybody scored 10, 8, 12, 7, 11. Yeah. So,
and
yes.
It got their coach suspended
for
spreading the ball around, letting girls score a lot of points.
Yeah. It is sad, though, when you see points allowed 92, points scored 4. Field goals made 2-31. Yes.
That was not a close girls high school basketball game in Connecticut.
No, and how about this? The Lyman team didn't even attempt a free throw, where the other team was 15 of 19 from the line.
So they were never fouled.
At least not shooting, which means they must have pressed the hell out of them.
I don't even know what that means when you say press them.
Come on, really?
I'm going to guess. This is what I'm going to guess.
Yes.
That defensively, they were all up in their business. Is that right? Is that what pressed means?
Girls, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get all up in their business. It's a full court. So instead of allowing the team to walk the ball up the floor and cross midcourt, get into your offensive set and play defense, it means ball goes through the hoop. You press them in the backcourt.
They're already.
Yes, absolutely. And then that's where a lot of steals and turnovers happen.
Oh,
easy baskets.
Yeah, that's douchey.
Most of the time, though, it's very difficult for a team to do that for a full game. You'll exhaust yourself, so you pick your spots. In this case, I would think this team might have done it right from the start and just overwhelmed them. But I don't know.
Sounds like it.
56-0 at halftime. They were certainly overwhelmed.
They were pressing them.
Yeah.
There seems to be, and I don't know why. Maybe you can tell me. Why is there a fascination now with everything Aaron Rodgers does?
Because he's a very polarizing lightning rod.
But he's been in the league a very long time.
Yeah.
I guess just recently.
He had a douchey offseason, that's why. Because you've become a, you're not a fan of him anymore.
That's true.
You've become a detractor.
I love that. Aaron Rodgers had a douchey offseason.
Yeah.
He did, though.
Yeah. Not that I minded it. But he did.
I feel like it started when he started dating Danica Patrick. Like when
I thought you were going to say when he started hating his family. Because you were
actually,
on him
you know
for
what?
That.
You're right. That's when it really started.
Yep.
It started with The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. It was The Bachelorette where his brother, Jordan, was a contestant on The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And he was getting very close with one of the women and said that they don't talk.
Right.
That Aaron Rodgers and his family are fighting. Then from there, he was dating Danica Patrick.
Yeah.
Which, as far as we know, she was trying to get them to...
get married, right? She was heartbroken, wasn't she?
She was heartbroken.
Yeah.
But then he was dating another girl who was famous. So he started becoming a, like, celebrity couple Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
Then he grew the hair long, so he looked a little strange.
Pandemic hair.
Like then
Geo.
He was doing a John Wick Halloween costume.
Right.
But he still has the hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he started, then he did the COVID stuff. Then he goes on Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm. Where he's very likable.
Where he's very likable,
because
okay.
I watch it every week. Because of the relationship he's got with McAfee and AJ Hawk, like those three, you can tell, are really tight. And it's It's a good watch. He stays on for 45 minutes with them.
But now it's like everything he does,
yes,
they cover it.
Well, here's one thing that I found interesting, and it was addressed, and I'll play the clips coming up between 6 and 10 at some point. So one thing that I saw make the rounds on social media last week, which I thought too, I don't know why I don't tweet this stuff when I think it. I just don't. They have him in these post-game interviews. You know, there's basically a fishing rod with a microphone on the end of it. And he's standing 8 feet apart from, usually it's Aaron Andrews. And then the camera stays there. It's over. And he walks up and he hugs her. So are we trying to stay apart or aren't we? Which I always thought was interesting. So that's kind of made the rounds. And they brought that up to him yesterday.
Yeah. And I thought he actually, I mean, because when I saw that as well, I was like, what are we doing? Like, you can't be right near her to interview, but you're okay to hug her.
He said, he's a hugger. She's my friend.
Yeah, and he said, I'm doing what they tell me to do,
yep,
but I'm going to hug my friend.
Correct.
So he did the interview the 8 feet apart, yep, or wherever it was.
Interview over, come give Papa a hug.
I actually thought that was a good explanation.
It was. It was totally fine.
Because it made sense.
And plus you've got, especially now, you know he's got the 90 days of antibodies. She's vaccinated. I mean, if he can't hug her.
And they're outside.
And they're outside, and he's running around, you know, guys are spitting on one another on the field. I mean, Jerry Jones is very interesting. He basically said, we know guys are out there playing with COVID. Not basically, he said that. He goes, but it's a matter of making sure that they're on the other side of the symptoms, and some are asymptomatic. It's just they're doing the best they can.
And then he said, good morning.
He also, which is something, I wish Craig was here, got into the whole full-time, part-time ref thing.
Oh, is that right?
Basically, it makes no sense for these guys to be. What else are they going to be doing exactly?
What, to be full-time?
Yeah, there's not work for them. Well, you got them study tape every day for 8 hours a day in the offseason.
Yes,
it's not going to make them better. I think he was making the point. These guys are actually really good.
Yeah, you get paid for the games you do.
Which is what they're doing already.
Yeah. Then there's a writer named Hub Arkish.
Yes, who used to, I believe, work Westwood One sidelines with Boomer.
Okay, I knew that name from
right?
Somewhere.
Does that sound right? I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, that does sound right.
Yeah.
So he was on The Score in Chicago.
Okay.
And he is one of the people that has a MVP vote.
Okay.
And he said he is not voting for Aaron Rodgers because he says, quote, I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization and your fan base the way he did and be the most valuable player.
How did he punish them? Just because he wasn't vaccinated,
yeah,
and he lied about it?
Yes.
I guess, but then at the same time, the game he doesn't play, they sucked. It's the complete definition of MVP.
Well,
I know what he's saying.
His point to that is, because he brings that up, because that was the Kansas City game, right?
Yeah, when they, offensively, they couldn't do a damn thing.
Yeah, so he said, how can you vote him the most valuable player if his actions caused him to miss that game and
yeah,
they lost?
There's two schools of thought here. I did this with Sal last week. It's the whole personal choice against it. I will never tell someone they have to go get that. I just won't. I recommend it. I've done it. I can't wait to get my booster. But to each his own. If you don't want to put that in your body, I'm not going to force you. That's why I don't have a problem with the Kyrie Irving thing.
Right.
I really don't. Do you think he's not vaccinated because he hates his teammates? No. He's got a fundamental problem with it. Whether it's right or wrong, that's his belief. Good for him. Live your life. So same thing with Aaron Rodgers, even though he had some Fugazi immunity and lied to us. Okay, fine. Didn't lie, possibly lied. Semantics. But to say he's, I don't know. How do you not vote for him for MVP?
Plus, I also think sometimes these guys, like it's, and a good job by Hub Arkish, it's knowing your audience. He was on sports radio in Chicago, mm-hmm, where they hate
Aaron Rodgers.
So why wouldn't you go, I vote for that guy, he's a douche.
Well, it is interesting. He's a national announcer, though.
Yeah.
Who's going to be, assuming he still does that, I don't know if he does or he doesn't, I would think there's a good chance he'll be on a Packer sideline this postseason.
That would be interesting.
And be in the locker room. So that's gutsy that he says it publicly and knows he might have to go face him.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys wouldn't do that.
That's true.
You know, they want to be buddy-buddy.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't badmouth a guy, then have to go face him face to face.
Right. You've already been through that with Warren Sapp.
Right.
You're good.
I tried that once. That did not go well for me.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time. And I feel like we've been dragging this on for what feels like years, even though I'm sure it's not years. But the Washington football team is going to announce on February 2nd.
So yeah, we mentioned this yesterday.
Up, yeah. That they're, that they have their name change situation.
Gio made a great point when I brought it up yesterday.
Yeah.
He goes, how are they keeping that a secret for a month?
Yeah.
I agree with him.
Right,
I have no idea.
They supposedly are they're not changing their colors, right?
Which I like what they've done.
Me too.
It still looks like the old Washington Redskins. Now the name's changed. That's fine, but it still looks like the same team.
And I think they're keeping those colors.
Okay.
But they are...
They're keeping that dump of a stadium.
It seems like they are putting something on the uniform with regards to the whatever the new logo is.
Why did
be.
I think Washington football team was decided 6 or 7 months ago? Clearly, I'm wrong. I don't know why I thought that was
thought
a done
so
deal.
Too.
But it's not.
I like it.
I do, too. I think it's
stupid
fine.
At first. I was like, this is stupid.
But you get used to anything.
Yes, you do get
Just
used to
like you'll get used to the Cleveland Guardians very quickly in baseball.
Yeah.
Right now, it seems ridiculous, but you'll get used to it.
Does that start this season?
It does, yeah. Yeah. Because remember, they had to settle out of court with the Cleveland Guardians of the Roller Hockey League. Or the Roller Derby League,
excuse me.
Well, it's kind of like when St. John's went from the Redmen to the Red Storm. I was like, Red Storm? Now it's just, it's, yeah, that's what they are.
And Syracuse Orange Men to
They're the Orange.
Orange.
Yeah. And I know there have been a bunch of others. I don't know them all, but there have been other teams that have changed their names. Like Hawaii, they're the Rainbows now instead of the Warriors, right? Does that sound right, Eddie?
Yeah, they are
Hawaii used to be the Warriors, now they're the Rainbows. So you get used to anything.
Roller derby. When I used to try to watch WWF wrestling on MSG Network every once in a while.
They would have roller derby.
Yeah, every once in a while they would put on one of the wrestling nights at the Garden would be on MSG Network. But I never knew when it was going to be televised. Because sometimes they were wrestling at the Garden, and I think it was going to be on, and I'd put it on. It would be like roller derby.
You know what was a big channel for roller derby back in the day?
What?
It was channel 33 on the old cable box, and then the flicker into the middle part. Sports channel.
Used to
have roller derby.
Is roller derby kind of like wrestling, like where it's kind of fake?
It's like, I don't know, it's like a cross between hockey checking and I don't think it's fake, actually. I don't know. I know there's a roller hockey league in South Jersey. They invited us to come, to come skate. We'll pass.
Right, because all that we're going to do is prove it's not fake.
You might break us.
Smack us around like John Stossel got smacked around on 2020.
And I think it was a female league. The girls are like in their 20s.
Yeah.
We're out.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Al, do you have a memory of Rollerball, like a weird 70s cult movie with James Caan?
No, I'm aware it exists, but I did not watch that. It always looked just fake to me.
I don't know that it isn't, and I don't know that it is, but it looks real. We got to take a break. It's coming up on 5:54. Boomer and Geo at the top. Odyssey Sports Minute with Amy Lawrence.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
The Knicks did win last night, beat the Pacers. Devils lost. Rutgers and Seton Hall both won. What else, Al?
It was Olivia Munn, who Aaron Rodgers dated, who was famous. That comes from Jesse Jeffers.
All right.
And then James Fox tells me on Twitter that Timmy Toughnuts is a nickname former players have for coaches who act tough, but their teams suck.
Yes.
Which is what Dan Orlovsky said.
What are Boomer called? Rich Kotite, Timmy Toughnuts back in the day.
Hey, Timmy Toughnuts.
Well, he never really acted tough.
Oh, he didn't?
No. Oh, he just wasn't around.
Got it. That's worse.
And yesterday, just an update from a story we did yesterday, Jerry. Titans Bud Dupree was charged with assault after fighting a Walgreens employee.
Now, is there video footage?
There is video footage of this.
And he literally went where you can do your sound effects.
Well, it was like it wasn't like I didn't see punches thrown. It was a lot of pushing and shoving, and then he demanded that one of his friends who was wearing a Bud Dupree jersey, which
Come
was
on.
Interesting. Yeah. Get the phone from the Walgreens employee.
WFAN and WFAN FM and HD1, New York.
An Odyssey station.